We're on quite a journey together. Matter of fact, this may be the at least in my life, the greatest Lent experience I've ever had. I can't tell you how many amazing conversations we're having around spiritual gifts. And what we're after is that every single person, the Bible says that everybody's given a spiritual gift. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, I can't imagine any of us would show up on Christmas Day and somebody says, here's a present for you, and we go, no thank you, I don't want that. We'd be like, for me? Really? You shouldn't have. How many of you, that's what you say when people get you gifts? That's your, yeah. God says, here, this is the best gift, one of the greatest gifts you'll ever get. We all have one. We all have a spiritual gift, and we've been working on that together. So, to work on that, Jesus took us to the zoo last week for guidance on using our spiritual gift. That was quite an experience, wasn't it? And we talked about sheep and wolves and doves and mostly snakes. How many of you were like, yes, finally someone's talking about snakes? Were you into that last week? Into the snake discussion? And Jesus, he told us while we were at the zoo last week with him, he said, if you're going to live in a difficult world, if you're going to live around some who are difficult people, if you're going to love them with my love, here's what you got to do. Matthew 10:16. You could put that up on the screen there. He said, live like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That's one sentence. And how much did we take away from all of that last week, right? And I think, I mean, it's hard to summarize that one sermon from last week, but maybe in a sentence we could say it's about not trusting what we can hear, see, hear, or feel, but having that snake kind of, go ahead and flick your fingers up, that's the tongue, right? They're reading their environment. The tongue, the experience of not seeing what other people see and being so in tune with the Spirit as we interact and walk around that we're more in touch with the heavenly than we are the earthly. Do you believe that we can live that way?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to say that one more time, and I need some more. Do you believe we can live that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can. So today, we're going to go to a deeper level with this. As a matter of fact, it's a much deeper level, and it's maybe for some of you will be a big eye-opener. Let's just pray quickly together. So Father, in this moment, we believe your presence is here, your Spirit is with us, and we ask you to teach us and speak to us what we need to hear most desperately from you. We long to hear your voice. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guarantee you not one person in this room, not anybody online, would argue with me and claim that there's not an invisible virus that has upturned our world in the last 12 months. Not one person would say that. As a matter of fact, I haven't read one article. I haven't heard anybody pontificate online in an editorial that said COVID is not real. As a matter of fact, not only have we all accepted that it's real, we've all taken tremendous measures to deal with this unseen thing, haven't we? We've worn masks. We've done social distancing. We've become obsessive about hand sanitizer. How many of you would say at one point you were obsessive about hand sanitizer? How many of you say, I wasn't obsessive, but I just like the smell of it? Okay. I've seen people with little bottles of hand sanitizer on their belt running around so they could, you know, wax up whenever they wanted to. We've stayed at home. We've quarantined. I didn't know the grocery store would bring groceries out to the curb, but I had to do 2 weeks of quarantine, and they put them right in the back for you. We've even done holidays and birthday parties on Zoom. How many of you did a holiday or a birthday party online with somebody, right? We've gone these tremendous efforts to be saved. And now the whole world has turned their collective resources into getting a vaccine out to as many people as possible, quickly as possible. But there's something else that is unseen, that is out there, that is so much more deadly, exponentially more deadly. It impacts us not just physically, but relationally, our thinking, our attitudes, our morality, our purity, our finances, our relationships, our marriages, how we date, how we do business. I mean, there's not one area that it doesn't impact. It can be physically life-threatening, emotionally life-threatening. And it can confuse us and distract us from operating in these powerful spiritual gifts that God's given us. And here's the thing, it's invisible, and you can't get away from it, even if you quarantine, and if you ignore it, it'll kill you. The death rate is 100%. And this unseen, deadly force, the Bible says, is called the devil's schemes against you. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Say that word with me. Schemes. Just saying that word, you kind of get a feeling for people plotting and doing devious things right behind your back. So the devil and his crew are schemers, and they're always working on a hidden devious plan to destroy you. And here's their big thing they have in their scheme. We could boil it down to one word, twist. The devil's scheme, the demonic forces and all that they bring to the table, their scheme is to twist the truth. He takes truth and he twists it so that it still seems, right? To be true. And you know what is really frightening? It's frightening to know that he knows the Bible really well and he'll use it against you. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has just finished 40 days of fasting. And he's hungry. It's at the very end of this thing. The devil comes to him to tempt him. And one of the things the devil does is he takes him up to the highest point of the temple. And he says to Jesus, if, now catch this language, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say that he'll order his angels to protect you and guard you, and they'll hold you up even with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He quotes the Bible verbatim to Jesus. And what does he do? He attacks maybe the sensitive spot for Jesus. We don't know. He attacks Jesus' identity. Jesus, do you really know for sure that you're the Son of God, that you're the Messiah? Do you really know that? Gosh, how many of us have been attacked on our identity? Does God really love me? Am I really good enough? Does he really hear me when I'm praying? And Jesus responds by quoting Scripture. He says, you're not to test the Lord your God. But it's just amazing to me because, wow, what a twist. All he does is quote Scripture to Jesus. He tries to twist that truth. And everything the Bible teaches us, the devil is scheming to twist. So here's some examples. Maybe as we go through this, if you think of your own example, I want to hear them in a minute. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, God wouldn't ask me to forgive that. There's some things you just don't forgive. Or, I forgive, but I don't forget. You ever hear somebody say that? Oh, here's one. You got to take care of yourself because no one else will. Really? How many promises are there in the Bible that God will take care of us, right? Or, I love this one. I really need to buy... fill in the blank. really need to buy, fill in the blank, whatever it is, you know, how often have we said something we really need? And we're feeling a little guilty about it, so maybe we say, well, Jesus did say that he came to give us the abundant life. As if I can spend my money on whatever I want, and God has to be all right with it. Oh, here's another one. You just got to have boundaries with difficult people because you have to make sure that they can't get close enough to hurt you. Where's that in the Bible? Sometimes it's in letting people hurt us, right? That they can come to know God by how we love them in response. Did anybody think of one? Another twist?
There's no right or wrong way to pray.
Oh, there's no right or wrong way to pray. There's no right or wrong way, even though Jesus said, say it with me, pray like this. That's pretty explicit, right? And a matter of fact, just before that, he said, don't pray like this. If you want to know where that is, it's in Matthew 6. You can look it up. Can you think of another one?
We all worship the same God.
Oh, we all worship the same. All paths lead to God. Woo, that's a big twist, isn't it? Anybody else?
King James.
Oh, if the King James was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? How about what we've been through in the last year? We could talk about the twists politics, right? We've got to take our country back. Well, first of all, our kingdom is God's kingdom, and if he wants to send us out, that's his choice, but it's got to be his will. Right? The devil, hear this, is an expert at giving us an excuse to do whatever we want to do. I'm going to say that one more time, and somebody better say amen to that. The devil is an expert, other than Betty Ann, is an expert at giving us an excuse to do whatever it is we want to do.
Amen.
And this is so deadly. It's just deadly. Our eternity hangs in the balance. And the eternity of others. It's not just us. And here's the if that's not frightening enough, the really scary, scary thing is this. There's nothing we can do on our own to win against the devil's schemes. Nothing. You're a sitting duck on your own. A mask isn't going to help you. Social distancing ain't going to keep the devil from getting close to you. You can't attach to your belt a win against the devil lotion or spray and hope for protection. We're so outsmarted by the devil and his schemes. Listen to what Ephesians 2:2 says. It says that on our own, without Jesus, we end up obeying him and following him. You are in life, you're either following Jesus or the devil. There's no exception. Isn't that mind-blowing? That's how devious he is, how deadly this is. And some of you, you're like, oh, Pastor, man, I'm looking back in the rearview mirror of life and I remember, how could I have done that? How could I have been so stupid, so confused? How could I have thought that was a good choice when I did it? How could I have thought, allowed that to be so twisted in my mind. Why did I put that on the credit card? Why couldn't I have seen that that was just not a good pastime to get involved in? How could I have, in that moment, and stood where I stood and saw that opportunity there, and I was alone and I was with them, and it just all made sense, right? Someone ever says to you, you just got to follow common sense, go, oh, no, jump back. Those are dangerous words. Looking back in that life's rearview mirror, that was crazy. Should have seen that coming. How could I have been so twisted in my thinking? And maybe you don't need a rearview mirror. Maybe you're there right now in this moment. And you just need a mirror and you're realizing, man, my thinking is twisted. I'm not handling this God's way because you're in the middle of it right now. all of that isn't bad enough. Listen to these words of Jesus, Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, don't be afraid of that which can kill your body. So don't be afraid of COVID, which can kill your body, but be afraid of God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. This is deadly stuff. And we just kind of ho-hum along. I mean, why are we so much more afraid of an unseen virus than the deadliest killer of all time? Why? Despite all the warnings in the Bible, despite Jesus' teaching, despite all of this, we're much more committed to COVID protection than we are guarding ourselves against the devil's schemes. Right? Do you all agree with that? But when we finally say, okay, we get it. Now I'm scared to death, Jesus. What do I do? He shows up and he says, it's going to be okay. Calm down. Don't be afraid. I've got the answer. You just have to do exactly what I tell you to do. And here's what you need to do. You ready? You listening? Be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. What, Jesus? Come again? Not quite what I was expecting. Yeah, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. First of all, don't run around trusting what you hear and see. How many of you are feelers and you just go, oh, I just felt that was the thing I needed to do. You ever say that? I feel like I had to do this thing. I fell in love. I fill in the blank, felt it. I felt like I needed a burrito from Taco Bell. By the way, I won't get into Taco Bell. That's an amazing place, by the way. They have like 8 ingredients, and they mix them up, and every week they come out. Anyway, sorry. Promotional fee has been paid for by Taco Bell. All right. Don't trust your feelings. Now, some of you are the thinkers, right? It's just like, I knew they needed this, or I knew I needed that, or how many of you sometimes you get caught up in your own head, and you just think yourself into doing something, right? I'm a feeler, but some of you are the thinkers. Don't trust that. Be like that serpent. You're getting those readings from the spirits, not from what you see. Don't trust your senses, because the devil, he's got, you know what? He has a scheme just with your name on it. They got a file in the demonic file cabinet, and I'm going to pick a name. Who wants to volunteer? All right, Stephanie. It's got Stephanie. What's your middle name? Stephanie Ann Helt, written on the label, and it says, here's all the things that we're going to try to do to Stephanie to get her twisted away from God's truth. That's scary, isn't it? So don't trust that, because when you're living more connected with heaven than earth, those schemes don't work against you, because they have no button to push then. And be innocent as a dove. Never, ever respond in anger to people or to hurt people. Don't say, well, they did that to me, I'm going to do that back to them. Be innocent. Don't ever let them have anything they can say. Well, did you know that? Not either one of those, me. I'm going to say, can you believe what Storm did? I can't believe he did that to them. No. No charge against us. We're innocent. So we're connected. We're walking around with a swagger, because we're connected to heaven, and we're innocent in people's lives. That's powerful living right there, isn't it? Wednesday. Anybody remember what Wednesday was? St. Patrick's Day. Anybody wear green on St. Patrick's Day? I know you did. St. Patrick, I didn't know this, I looked this part up, was born in England in the 5th century. That's a long time ago, isn't it? And he was born into a wealthy family. Now, at the age of 16, Patrick was taken prisoner by a group of Irish raiders who raided his family's estate and hauled him off to Ireland from England. And he spent 6 years in captivity. And this was a rough time for him because they had him work as a shepherd and he was outdoors and he was away from people. He was lonely and afraid. You know what he did? He turned to God. He became serpent-like. He tuned more and more into God. And in that process, he went all in as a Christian. And after 6 years, he got a message from God, in which he believed in a dream. God said, it's time to leave Ireland. So he walked 200 miles to the coast and got back to England. So after he returned home, right, wealthy family, how many of us would it be like, yes, I'm out of that mess, I'm home, I'm safe, I don't want to ever see another Irish person. I'm done with the Irish. And then talk bad about Irish people for the rest of their lives, right? He has a dream. An angel tells him to go back to Ireland as a missionary. Now these people kidnapped him. He was a slave. And what does he do? He goes. And he starts a movement of Christianity in Ireland. Now if you ask most people about St. Patrick's Day, what do they say? Wear green. Who said that?
Drink.
It's really just an excuse to drink for most people. There's the twist, right? We have this remarkable Christian that we can model our lives after and be like, what a miraculous story, so inspiring. And the devil has twisted it down to be not about going all in with God and loving people that hurt us, but about drinking. What a deception. How horrible, right? And he had every excuse not to return to Ireland. But he chose to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. Because when we live only in our senses, what do? We assess people by what we see, hear, and feel. And then we get offended sometimes, don't we? How do we respond when we get offended? Well, they didn't have the right to talk to me that way. By the way, if you ever hear yourself say the word right, as in you have a right or I was right, you probably should back off that word. That should be an alarm bell going off. Or we get afraid or judgmental, and when we do, we usually get it wrong, don't we? And then we call somebody a jerk, or we label them, or we write them off and we gossip and say horrible things about them. Or, we let them have it. And they deserved it. There's the twist, right? And the demons are going, yes, they're cackling, it's working. Pastor Storm's file, I knew it would work on him. All right, I don't know about the cackling part, but they are excited. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, no, no. There's so much that you don't know. I put you with those people because that person, because you have a difficult family like they have a difficult family, and you've been healed of it. Yeah, they push your buttons because they act like your sister does. And they treat you like your family did, but God wants you there because you know the path of healing they need. And because your spiritual gift is just what they need to prove to them that God is real. But the demons are scheming, and they're urging you to run away, flee, get away from them because they're evil like your family is. But St. Patrick ran back, didn't he? That's what God wants us to do sometimes. And the reason so many people don't operate in their spiritual gifts is because they believe the twist. The lie that we're fed by the devil, that people are the problem. People are never the problem. Say that with me. People are never the problem. Did you guys online say that? Okay, just checking. So listen, people aren't the problem. They're the deeply loved sons and daughters of the Father. Deeply loved. He delights in keeping track of the details of our lives. And here's the real truth. The Father trusts us with them. He trusts you. He sends you to someone who is without hope, without life. And maybe it's somebody you wouldn't normally like. Maybe it's somebody you don't want to have anything to do with. But He selected you for that mission because you're the right person to do it. And here's the thing. People aren't the problem, but they have problems, right? And without Jesus, they're trapped in their sin. And they're looking for a miracle. You ever known anybody that was just, like, they were so lost and they were just, I'm waiting, I'm hoping, I'm looking, and you're going to love this. Your spiritual gift may be the miracle they're looking for. When you show up and say to them, I just have a sense God wants me to say this to you or do this in your life. And they're like, how did you know? How? Because God loves you. He wants that in your life. But if we're like, I can't stand that person. Don't want to have anything to do with them ever again. I'm ghosting them. Does everybody know what that means? Oh, that means like if they message you or text you or tweet you or whatever, you just ignore them. Sometimes block them, and they don't know why. You just refuse to communicate. God's like, oh, and the devil's like, one of my favorite stories is about a woman named Ethel Smith who had the spiritual gift of mercy. And she was 69 years old, and she lived in Liberty City, Florida, which was just north of Miami. And Liberty City used to be this prosperous, joyful, great place, but over her lifetime of 69 years, she watched it deteriorate. Her once large church was empty and divided, was actually not too far from closing. And the neighborhood now was stuck in poverty and drug addiction. You know, it's a difficult neighborhood when you drive through and there's bars on the windows, right? I remember driving through Liberty City and seeing bars on the windows. Drug addicts and dealers were on the front steps of the church. They would do drugs and sell drugs day and night, and the police didn't bother to do anything about it. But a new pastor came to the church, and the church had no money, but he saw the real resource that they had. By the way, a church that is having problems, it's never about the money, by the way. It's never. Money is never the problem. Because that's the twist, right? That's the deception. So the pastor saw that even though the church was small, they had resources. They had Christians with spiritual gifts. And so he trained them in using their gifts and put them together in ministry teams, and they started addressing the needs of the community. Not the needs of the church. Did you see the difference there? The needs of the community. Because that's the other thing churches that are declining do. They turn inward if they ever were outward. But, you know. So he saw the crack addicts lying on the steps of the church, and you know what he did? It's like, we've got to start a rehabilitation, a Narcotics Anonymous or Celebrate Recovery. Here they did it. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know what to do, but they figured it out. And now, last time I checked, 1,000 people worship at Mount Tabor Missionary Baptist Church in Liberty City, and a third of them are former drug addicts. Yeah. So next, the pastor said, you know what, we got to go to the jail. So God showed him how to put together ministry teams. He put together, on each team they sent into the jail, somebody with the gift of leadership, somebody with discernment, somebody with teaching, somebody with prophecy, and somebody with mercy. And those teams would go in, and they'd go every week. Because here's what God said to him. He said, people in your community, most of them have either been to jail, were in jail, or when they're way out of jail. So if you can reach them in jail, you'll see their lives turned around. That's what they did. So back to Ethel. Here we go. Ethel. Remember, she's 69 years old. She's living in this deteriorating community. She has bars on her windows. Every day and night, she's getting knocks on her door from drug addicts who are asking her for money. So she's living in fear. On the corner of her house, 30 feet away, are prostitutes who are working day and night. So you can imagine, Ethel's just staying inside, right? She's staying inside with the doors locked, afraid. And you know what she's thinking? Those people are the problem. But then God started talking to her because the church got unleashed. And he told her now, remember, she has the gift of mercy. So what is the gift of mercy? It's when you see a need and you actually meet that need, something concrete. So God said, here's what I want you to do with your gift of mercy. I want you to make sandwiches. And when the drug addicts, the crack addicts knock on the door, don't give them money, give them food. So she's like, are you sure? Am I hearing this right? But she did it. And then step two for Ethel was to start going down to the corner and talking to the prostitutes. That act of mercy had to do with her identity, because she loved them and listened to them and accepted them. For many of them, they'd never had a mom or a dad figure that just loved them and accepted them. Now, she got some of the drug addicts to go to church, but she couldn't get any of the prostitutes to go the last time I heard, but they started tithing to church. She would give them their tithe. And then the kicker was, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to join one of the ministry teams that goes to the jail. And that's when she's like, I think you got the wrong address here, Holy Spirit. I don't think you have the right person for this one. She was scared to death. But she did it. 69 years old, joined a jail ministry team and started going on Tuesday nights with the jail outreach. And she fell so in love with it. Now when she goes on vacation, she leaves on a Wednesday morning and comes back on a Monday night because she will not ever miss her Tuesday night jail ministry. Wow. Go ahead and say it with me.
Wow.
That's the power of who we can be when we're not believing the twist. When we are empowered to live. Listen to this. Just listen to this. You can put this next scripture up. I wish you could get this inside of you. You are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says. He's created you anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things he's planned for you long ago. He's had a plan for your life since before you were born. He knew who you were going to be and what you were going to do. And he's had that file in heaven. Stephanie Ann Help. Here's the plan for Stephanie's life. He has a dream for you. And when we're not living as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove, we are so easily misled, even Christians, right? Because we believe the twists. And somehow, those schemes of the devil, don't they just feel right? Gosh, we just, they just feel right. It feels right to shut somebody out of our lives. It just does, because they deserve it. And don't I have a right to do it? But there's another way to live. It's living in this master plan. I'll tell you, so many of Jesus' teachings have a warning label, right? And a lot of the warning labels nowadays are meaningless because the attorneys write them. You know, it's kind of absurd kind of things. Like Pop-Tart, make sure you take it out of the wrapper before you put it in the toaster. That's actually a warning label on the box. But you better pay attention to Jesus' warning. Because there's a warning that if you ignore the good things He has planned for you, you put your eternity at stake. So you're a masterpiece. But on the flip side, you turn that over, the warning is, don't go around living your life for yourself. Get tuned in to this. Because this is serious. This is serious. He is committed to reaching His lost sons and daughters. And He expects the same commitment from us. So, following Him, we easily defeat the devil's schemes. They have no... It's like, we're impervious. It's like, please. James 4:7 says, when we're submitted to God and resisting the devil, He flees from us. I parade around with this confidence. Just as long as I'm in tune with God, the devil actually flees from me. Don't you love that? But when I'm trying to mix and match what I want with what God wants and not loving people the way He wants me to, whoo, God help me, right? I open myself up for that. So how do we live this? Let's wrap this up today. This is really, really simple. And this is what all the masters of the women and men, our mothers and fathers in the faith that have come before us, this is what they say. Create space every day to listen for the voice of the Spirit, to be quiet, to turn off everything, to shut the animals out, to just listen and pray and ask God, who is it today? Or what is it you want to say about my life? But every day to ask Him, who do you want to send me to today? And believe and listen and wait. And you know what? If you'll do that, He'll give you a name. Maybe not the first day, maybe not the second day, maybe not the third day, but He'll give you a name. How many of you have ever heard God say, I want you to reach this person? Yeah, look at all the hands, yeah. Or pray through that really difficult neighbor or family member or coworker and say, God, I am so, everything in me wants to run away from this person, but what is it you want me to do? What's your will for me with them? Because, and you got to say this in some way, in your own way, I want what you want, and I'm willing to do it even if I don't want to do it. That's the powerful prayer that sends the devil. He doesn't want you praying that prayer. He wants you praying this prayer, kind of some of the Psalms of David. God, I pray you murder them and their children and their grandchildren and never let them know your love. You know, you ever read some of those Psalms and you're going, yes, thank you, God. How did He know? I needed that today. It's like, no, God, whatever. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And read Scripture. Read it. It keeps us safe and protected. So this key is searching for God, learning to listen for His voice, burrowing into His heart, listening to what He says, and then doing it, no matter how simple or complex it might be. So, He's got a master plan for your life. That's amazing, right? He's given you a powerful spiritual gift to use in people's lives where people are going to go, what? How did you know that? And He's already prepped them. So you don't have to show up and they go, what are you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. No, God's got the harvest field already prepped. So He's done all the hard work. And we still go, I'd rather binge watch The Office today than go love somebody in Jesus' name. Can we do it tomorrow, Lord? And God's like, can I get anybody's attention in America? Because in Iran and China and South America and Africa, man, I just whisper and they're off and running. This is where we can live. And we'll unleash the church. And that's what he wants for us, so that our spiritual gifts can be powerful, a powerful use in people's lives. Amen. So here's what we're going to do.